This morning, Pastor Lawrence brings God's word to us as our sermon text is taken from Acts chapter 6, verse 8 to chapter 8, verse 3. It's a long passage, but we'll be only reading from chapter 6, verses 8 to 15. Do follow along with me as I read this from the ESV. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "Who have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God?" And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. The sermon is entitled, An Exemplary Servant.
A blessed new year. We are still in the beginning of a new year, and this is the second week, and a blessed Lord's Day to everyone. Now, it has been more than 1.5 month break from our preaching series, the Book of Acts. And we resume today. And our text is Acts chapter 6, verse 8 to chapter 8, verse 3. It's a very long passage, you know. And to do an expository study or a detailed or comprehensive study is impossible, you know, with a lot of details and all that. So we will only this morning focus on the closing 8 verses of chapter 6 under the title or the banner, An Exemplary Servant. Indeed, that is what Stephen was. Though you and I will probably never be martyred, and though we will probably never play as vital or pivotal a role in the history of the church as Stephen did. However, we can live such exemplary lives serving our Master and Savior. So I hope that we will be challenged by the testimony of this exemplary servant of God. Now, while there is a lot that we do not know about Stephen, but we can say, based on the evidence before us, that he was truly, truly one of the greatest believers in the history of the church. And his name means crowned, as in victory. He truly was a victorious Christian. And I really pray that we will emulate his example and to live a victorious Christian's life. Now let's go back a few verses, you know, to talk about his calling. You know, just a little recap on the previous verses. The Jerusalem church realized that there was a need for someone to serve tables, you know, found in verse 2 of chapter 6. And the word serve is a translation of the Greek word diakonia. Diakonia, from which we derived our English word deacon. I think we are familiar. We have a lot of deacons and deaconess in our midst. It was noted in our previous study that the seven formed a model diaconate. And it was these seven men who were appointed over the businesses And the word business speaks of a need or a necessity and carries with it the matter of service. So indeed, we are very thankful to God, you know, for providing us many deacons and deaconesses to serve. Now, Stephen was willing to serve even in the more mundane areas of church life. And he saw, excuse me, and he saw this as God's calling in his life, as confirmed by the call of the body and confirmed by its appointed leadership. Now, while Stephen was a deacon, and that his ministry was therefore very deliberately one of service, we should at the same time note that every believer, every one of us here, is called to serve in different capacities. And as we shall soon see, how we serve often determines how else we served. And that is, the one who is faithful in that which is little is often being prepared to be faithful in that which is much. So, my beloved brethren, all of us are called to salvation by God's grace, and having been saved, we are to glorify Him, serve Him. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I think this is very timely, that last week we have Pastor Joe ordained as the and set apart to be minister of the gospel, and we have dedication service. And the three questions I really, you know, want to ask to recall again is that it is very important that we must frequently review them. And the first is, who were you before you received Christ? By the way, this is the outline of Pastor Joe when he was preaching last week. Who were you before receiving Christ? And what was God? What has God done for you through Christ? And what are you to do for Christ? So these are very important questions that we need to frequently review them. And my heart truly rejoices when I see the body of Christ in Zion Serangoon, in our church, serving in different ministries. We have Ling Kwang Home, The Helping Hand, Josiah Home, SAF, Christian Ministry, Awana and Sunday School, worship, songs leaders, worship leaders, scripture reading, you know, mission, YF, IF, you know, Block 123, Wheeling Ministry. I can go on and on. I really, really thank God for those who come forward to serve the Lord. We are created in Christ to do good work. And I know a good number of you who are serving zealously. And I think some of you know who they are. They serve zealously, faithfully, diligently, spending their valuable time, their energy, and their resources. And I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I may not speak directly to you face to face, but as you serve the Lord in different capacity, you really encouraged and inspired me. One of our members always say, "I'm very proud of you," and then he will put his hand here. Now let us look at some of Stephen's character. He was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit and power, who did great wonders and signs among the people. It was fundamentally the character of Stephen that paved the way for him to be qualified to serve the body of Christ. And it was this same character that made him exemplary as a servant. So to be effective, God-honoring servant, godly character is necessary. Godly character is necessary. If we were effectively serve the Lord, then we need the kind of character that marked Stephen. And the term used to describe Stephen's character, says one of the theologians, Robertson, he said it gives a picture of remarkable attractiveness. That's the description. Now, Stephen was faithful, a man who was full of faith. And the word, the term full of, speaks of an overflowing container. Its picture is that of being so consumed with something that you are controlled or obsessed by it. And so Stephen believed and obeyed God because his confidence was in God. So this was evident to others, and his sermon later on in chapter 7 proved it. And I really like this quote now. He said, "A man who truly trusts God can be trusted by others. A man who truly trusts God can be trusted by others." So he was full of faith, and he was also full of the Holy Spirit. To be full of the Spirit is to live a Christ-centered life. And this is manifested by declaration of Christ, you know, and the disposition of Christ. You can find this in many scripture references of the person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Any believer can be filled with the Spirit. And every believer is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know whether you all still remember, we have been, you know, mentioning Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you know, that we should memorize and internalize, that we will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel. So I maybe at this juncture like to request all of us, you know, to loudly recite this verse, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, shall we? So let's begin. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Praise the Lord. May the Holy Spirit fill our lives, fill Zion Serangoon, so that every member indeed be a missionary sharing the gospel of Christ. So he was full of faith, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was gracious. Verse 8 tells us that Stephen was full of grace, and the word can mean gracious. Stephen had spiritual charm, a certain likable, you know, certain winsomeness as he served others. Such is a mark of an exemplary servant. And in fact, we see this in Paul exhorting Timothy, you know, in much of the same manner. It says in 2 Timothy 2, 23 and 24, it says, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth." Indeed, very gracious. Of course, having said so much of Stephen, the Lord Jesus is our ultimate perfect example of a servant who does not quarrel or generate strife. And yet, note that being gracious does not guarantee a conflict-free ministry. Again, Jesus is our example. How he, you know, confront those who are hypocrites. Now, to be gracious is not to be weak. Grace is pure and can therefore stir up guilt. And this is precisely what the gospel does. It confronts us, reveals our sin and our ugliness, and then shows us God's mercy, His grace, His salvation. He was full of faith, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, gracious. He was powerful. Stephen was full of power. The word translated power is in the Greek dunamis, which means divine power expressed in mighty works. Stephen was used in a mighty way as if he were an apostle. So it should be noted that the ability to perform wonders and signs was not a widespread gift in the early church, and certainly not one that we should not expect to see in practice today. You know, God still empowered and still performed miracles. And yet we can learn from this that when a servant of the Lord is faithful, spiritual, and graceful, he can also expect to be powerful in the service of the Lord. Such an exemplary servant will be effective in strengthening the church. So if we want Zion Serangoon to be really shined, really being a missionary God, we have to have this. We have to be faithful. We have to be spiritual and graceful and powerful in the Lord Jesus. I really like this American theologian, Everett Harrison. He says, the general description of Stephen resembles that of Jesus. Jesus is still the ultimate example in Luke. His faith enabled him to lay hold of divine grace, which in turn released the power of God in the performance of mighty deeds. If we want to see revival in Zion Serangoon. Now, to be exemplary servant does not require great deeds. You know, we must all do great things. But as much as it requires great devotion. No, you examine these characters. And this gift is not available only to the leaders. Every believer can have these gifts. Every one of us, obeying the commandment to be filled with the Spirit, and we will serve the Lord with might. If you want to be effective, don't make effectiveness your goal. You know, sometimes we talk a lot about strategizing and things like that. No, it's nothing wrong. We have to. But rather, we have to make Christ as our goal. Our focus should be Christ. And therefore, if our focus is in Christ, we will be faithful to Him. We will be spiritual for Him, and we will be graceful like Him. And the result will be unique ways in which God will make us powerful in Him. So let me repeat this. Faithful to Him, spiritual for Him, and graceful like Him, you know, and God will make us powerful in Him. So this is something that we really, really want to Think about it. You know, when I joined Zion office in April 2004, I have no idea what I could contribute to the church, or even how I could raise or build a family. You know, I was married a year plus, you know, at that time, and Lynn was expecting our first child. You know, I was a ministry staff intern. And I tell you, those of you who know me 20 years or 20 plus years ago, my English was very jialat. Very, very jialat. You know, and my pronunciation was horrible. Sometimes it still is. But bear with me. And I was so, so inexperienced in many things. But by the grace of God, He laid upon my heart to trust Him. You know, just focus on serving Him. Faithfully, diligently, depending on His strength and His empowerment and abiding in Him. That was what the Lord laid upon my heart. And the last 20 years of journey was wonderfully miraculous. Wonderfully miraculous. And there were some episodes of trials, you know, during those 20 years, but God intervened and turned them around. And I really want to thank God for some members. Very encouraging, you know, strengthening us in the Lord, you know, showing their love, you know, in so many ways. You know, that I'm very, very grateful. And I echo with the psalmist, "You have dwelt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. You have dwelt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word." The Lord has been faithful, so faithful, providing for me and my family over the years. And recently, I think all of you will know, we have been singing this song, "Goodness of God." Goodness of God. You know, the ensemble, I think, beginning to sing this song, and then we catch it, and then we sing this so often. And I really identify with the lyrics that God is so faithful, and He is so, so good to me and to you. And I know many of them share with me, as they sing this song, they were tearing. His mercy never once fails me. Even though I often fall short in so many ways, God is so faithful and God is so good. Now, having looked at the character of this exemplary servant, we must now ask what his example produced. Now, some of you may be thinking, wow, it must be revival or something. It might surprise us. During Stephen's high point of grace and power, the attack was made. With reference to this, John Stott, this is another theologian, Stott. He says, "Yet in spite of all Stephen's outstanding qualities, his ministry provoked fierce antagonism." Wow, I think you all must really, you know, focus on this. In spite of, you know, Stephen's outstanding qualities, his ministry has provoked jealousies, antagonism. You know, in our friendship servanthood, recently, you know, I have a lot of groups. This is one of the group. Two days and one night retreat last Sunday. Last Sunday after Joe's ordination service and all that, we went for a 2-day retreat. And we all agree that the more we serve the Lord fervently, enthusiastically, effectively, the more we need to beware of the devil's attack. I don't know if you agree or not. In my ministry of 20 years, as I serve the Lord, I can see all kinds. The more I serve Him, because the devil's always jealous and angry when he sees God's work prospering. So we encourage one another in our group to focus on serving God and don't let other things distract us. Always stay close to God. I strongly encourage all of us, to have small groups. I think we talk about 3-1, but not necessarily 3-1. It can be 5-1, 8-1. Come together and strengthen one another in the Lord Jesus. And it is precisely in the context of conflict that one's character is manifested. You see, if everything is going smoothly, all the time, we really, if we are not tested, we don't know where we stand. So it is in these conflicts and all that, he shows his commitment. So that's why in verses 9 through 14, we have the record of the conflict to which Stephen's character, and therefore his commitment, because he was a man of Christ-centered character and Christ-driven commitment, conflict was inevitable. And again, it was in such conflict that we see more his character in action as he remained committed to Christ and his church. So, brothers and sisters, don't let people and circumstances stumble you. You remain faithful as our Heavenly Father is faithful. So in our services for the Lord Jesus, we will encounter all kinds of challenges and problems. Stephen had access to this synagogue and he faithfully preached Christ there. Now, there's actually a lot of wonderful stuff that we can learn about Hellenistic Jews, and the kind of thing. But I will not go into that. Normally in my preaching, I will not go into that. I will focus on the application. Because he was faithful, he was fearless. He effectively and powerfully, convincingly proclaimed the truth of God's word. But rather than conversion, there was argument, there was dispute, actually, it was a former debate centered on the death, resurrection, and the Messiahship of Christ, and the inability of the Mosaic law and the temple ritual to save. This one you can really, study in chapter 7, his preaching, 50 verses, huge sermon that you can really get a lot of wonderful truth there. So the synagogue worshipper could not refute the truth of Stephen's claim, but they also refuse, even though they cannot refute, they cannot argue this is God's truth, but they refused to accept them. And it resulted in what? Intrigue. It drew attention and they secretly induced men to say certain things about him, try to get rid of him. Again, this guy is very good. This theologian Robertson, he says, the phrase secretly induced means to bring men under one's control by suggestion or by money, bribing. Buying people to make false accusation and all that. So these false charges were deliberately emotive accusation intended to turn even the Jewish population against not only Stephen per se, but against the Hellenistic church. The entire church as well. And importantly, if we study all this, you will think about Jesus. Jesus faces the same thing. They used the same tactic against Jesus. And now they use the same tactic against Stephen, his faithful servant. But having said that, we know that the scheme actually worked. Right? They get rid of them, they murdered. But you know, we shall very soon see that it is actually for the glory of God. The gospel started to spread, you know, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and elsewhere because of this. If not, the gospel was concentrated on in Jerusalem. And so we see in verse 12, it introduces a new element in the history of the early church. It tells us that the people were now stirred up, you know, and there was this a lot of confusion and things like that. So in short, the false witnesses were able to disseminate the threatening rumor that Stephen and the church that he represented, you know, was disloyal to the Jewish way of worship and life. You know, and this resulted in public opinion turning against both him and the church. Very sad. And this doubtless was a fabrication of otherwise truthful teaching of Stephen, had declared with reference to Jesus, the true temple and the purpose of the law. Actually, yeah, that's why I say, you know, it's really wonderful if you really go in deep study on this. Undoubtedly, Stephen spoke regarding a recasting of Jewish life in terms of the supremacy of Jesus, the Messiah. You know, everything that Stephen was teaching, was preaching, was truth. And it's... Yeah, Stephen was simply, you know, expounding what Jesus revealed when Jesus was around. Jesus was himself the replacement of the temple and the fulfillment of the law. And moreover, to affirm that both temple and the law pointed forward to him are now fulfilled in him is to magnify their importance and not to, you know, throw away this truth. So you see how these people are really going against him and fabricating him with all kinds of nonsense. They make that when their argument is filled, they put a lot of marks to make it confused. Confusion. This is one of the techniques that people are doing. When they lose the argument and all that, right? They cannot handle. They actually put a lot of mud, you know, to confuse the whole thing. So Stephen, no doubt, was teaching the same thing, the truth. He was honoring the old covenant. But in their blindness, they could not see, or in their jealousies or whatever. So he was therefore arrested and accused before the Sanhedrin, the court, you know. And he would be martyred, and the world would be blessed by this. So sometimes we see, that's why I think Romans 8:28 is really a very wonderful verse, but must put it in the right context. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and according to the will of God. Now, several characteristics emerge from this conflict which highlight his commitment of this exemplary servant. So let's do a very quick run through his compassion. So one needs to consider why Stephen was so willing, you know, to put himself in a risky situation by going to the synagogues. He can just preach in his church. Why in the first place he go to the synagogues? And I would suggest that it was because of his passion for his fellow men, you know. And he knew the truth of the gospel. And like the master whom he served, you know, was moved with compassion for sheep with a terrible shepherd. In fact, this episode reveals how awful those shepherds were, you know, in the synagogue. because they had even crucified the chief shepherd. So he was compassionate, and his conviction, you know, Stephen was convinced that Jesus was the Christ, and he would not and he could not be silent about it. He had to speak out. And he was convinced that Jesus was the temple, and that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. And therefore he speak out. He therefore was not hesitant to declare the gospel truth, even though he faced the threat, and even though he faced, you know, misunderstood, ostracized and all that, and even murder. He was so convinced. He was courageous. We have already seen that in Stephen's courage. It was manifested in his very public demonstration through declaration of his conviction, his passion. And we will see in his sermon before the Sanhedrin, his greatest fear object was not man, but God. Such is the hallmark of an exemplary servant. Fear God, not man. Fear God, not man. His competence, this is something that, you know, the text clearly reveals that Stephen was skilled in the ability to declare the truth of the gospel. In fact, that is why his enemies turned, you know, to argument, because they cannot win the argument, they cannot win the debates and all that, you know. So that's why he says that when arguments fail, mud has often seemed an excellent substitute. So I really learned these wonderful lessons. When arguments fail, mud has often seemed an excellent substitute. Now, Stephen knew what he was, what he believed and why he believed it. And he was competent in contend for the faith. And if I may say it this way, he knew what he was talking about when it came to the gospel. He knew God's covenant of grace and how this covenant under the older covenant was fulfilled in the new covenant. He knew all that. And I would like to appeal to all of us at Zion Serangoon. You know, our church needs such competence. And we thank God, you know, I think most of our elders and even deacons and deaconess or what, you know, and our pastors, they are very well trained in the Word of God. They are very competent. We thank God, you know, that for the CBS, for ABC, for our constant emphasis on the diligent study of God's Word. You see, exemplary servants must be a student of God's Word. So I want to encourage all of us to really, really, you know, there's this reading club going on, Elder Siap Chuan, Pastor Joe Oswald, and even Helen Tan, they were involved. There are so many resources that will help us to be competent in dealing with the Word of God. And finally, his countenance. As the conflict erupted, Stephen did not. He did not chicken now or defeat or what. He was on the side of the truth, and God was on his side. And Stephen's countenance was evidence of this. There is clearly an allusion here to an earlier event in which God's spokesman was being dishonored. You know who they? Who is he? Moses. You will recall that the children of Israel disrespected Moses when they cried out, "For as for this Moses, we do not know what has become of him." Can you see how they disrespected God's servant? The one who was mediating for them. The one appointed to reveal the truth of God to them. No, the very one that they have rejected. But we know that God vindicated Moses before them. As he you know, quite literally put some of his glory on him. And the same seems to be here. The text clearly says that all who sat in the council, you know, at the Sanhedrin court, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. There was no doubt as to the heavenly stamps of approval, on this servant of God. God will defend you, if you really stand on his truth and honor him. I'd just like to end this with a real story. You can go and Google. This is I took from years ago. In fact, many, many years ago. The Romanian pastor, Joseph Chow, ran away from his communist country to study theology in England. And in 1972, when he was ready to go back home after completing his theological training, equip and all that, he discussed his plans with his fellow students. They pointed out that he might be arrested, at the border and be sentenced to prison and even all that persecution. And one student asked Joseph, he said, "Joseph, what chances do you have of successfully implementing your plans?" And Joseph smiled and said to himself, now this is typically Western thinking. And he later wrote, "Chances of success, I never thought in those terms. My thinking was in terms of obedience. I knew that the king said, 'Go,' and I had to say, 'Yes, sir.' Yes, sir, and go." Now Joseph turned the question around and asked God, sometimes later, "What if I ask you about success?" The Lord gave him Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. "I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves," the Lord said to him. "Tell me, what chance does a sheep surrounded by wolves have of surviving 5 minutes, let alone of converting the wolves?" "Joseph, that's how I sent you. Totally defenseless and without a reasonable hope of success. If you are willing to go like that, go. If you are not willing to be in that position, don't go." So are you prepared? To serve the Lord, even though you may not know a lot of things and all that. Beloved brethren, we are still in the beginning of a new year. And if you have not made any wishes, may I challenge you to ask God to give you godly character. Character of Stephen, so that you will be courageous, witness for Jesus Christ. You will be passionate, courageous, faithful, missionary, and do the work of God and leave the result to him. Whether you were, this godly character and this principle is not just apply in serving the Lord, in the ministry or full time or whatever. No, even in your family, even in your workplace, everywhere, All these characters were shine for the Lord Jesus. No, whether you will be successful or even persecuted or facing all kinds, whether God will protect you, but you will, like Stephen, receive the victor's crown at the end of the day. No, I saw, just this morning I saw the thing. It says, Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to and give his life as a ransom for many. This is our master's. And let us really, may the Lord help us, you know, to do so. And I've chosen this response hymn, a worker or a servant's prayer. So as we sing this response hymn, may this also be a prayer, you know, from our heart, to ask the Lord to bless the hands, the works of our hands. Amen.